Here in Genesis chapter 2, we pick it up here in verse number 15. And we want to take a look at these scriptures here, and then we'll consider the subject at hand. In Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day and your blessings, your goodness towards us. We thank you, Father, for help and blessings and answered prayer during the course of the week. Lord, you've been so good to us, and we thank you for that. And we pray, Father, that in those things, in those requests, and our seeking your face about things at hand, even in the previous weeks, Father, your blessing has abounded unto us and different families in the church and in different many different ways. Lord, help us that we might remember that in days to come, and we would be encouraged about it in it. And Lord, to know as your children, even though tempted and tried and assailed with so many false spirits and witnesses in this world, Lord, that we would know and be of assured, Lord, that we can trust you for everything. Help us in that. Help us we might be encouraged in you. Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved, we pray that you'd speak to them as you only can. Lord, take your word, make it effectual, move with your spirit. And Lord, just touch hearts and souls. Save sinners, Father. Make them your own. And Lord, just use us to be your instrument to carry your word into them. And Lord, we pray that you would work in our midst. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here in this passage, we see what the Lord has told Adam. Eat of this tree, you will surely die. We see the account here in Genesis chapter 3, where Satan, being cast out of heaven, came and tempted Eve. He caused Eve to doubt. Eve allowed herself, or woman, allowed herself to be beguiled, tricked by Satan, and she believed what he said rather than what she had been told by Adam that came directly from the Lord. Took of the fruit. Adam, being in that dilemma of whether he was going to go with the Lord or go with her, went ahead and hearkened unto her voice willfully, knowing full well what the Lord had said. The Lord said that in the day that they eat of that fruit, that they would surely die. And then we see their reaction there. Evidently it had been the case that the Lord would come in the cool of the day, the voice of the Lord, as the scripture says, to visit with Adam and Eve. That seemed to be a practice. But when this happened, the day that this happened, that they ate of the fruit, they had disobeyed God, they were making a different kind of preparation for the Lord to show up. They knew he was coming, likely. I suppose that. And they started sowing fig leaves together because they knew they had a problem now between them and the Lord, not one another, their husband and wife, and everything as far as their marital relationship was the same other than sin had entered in. And Adam tells full well here when questioned by the Lord in verse number 10 of chapter 3, he said, I am afraid to be in your presence because I'm naked, and because of that, I hid myself from you. We go over in Genesis chapter 5, and the scripture tells us other things, but we come to this verse here, Genesis chapter 5, verse number 5, and we have this entry here, and I believe it's certainly it's of the Lord, it's His word, but the wording of it, I think, it is there for us that we might understand. In Genesis chapter 5, verse number 5, and all the days of Adam, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. The Lord had made a promise to Adam in chapter 2 that we read. He said in verse number 17, don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it, because in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so when we consider that, and this really isn't the subject for this morning, we just want to touch on it. It was manifested, that death, that Adam died on that day, like God said that he would. It was manifested in that he backed away from God, hid from God, and was afraid of God. He died spiritually. Death happened, didn't it? It came to pass. Where the good blessing of God in His creation, the good blessing of God of making man after His image and after His likeness, where God Almighty would come down and fellowship with His creation. You know, I don't think God came down and fellowship with the doves and the lions and the hippopotamuses, and how do you say hippopotamuses, hippopotami. He didn't come down and fellowship with them, did he? We don't have that indication in the scripture. Of course, I believe that the Lord certainly works in animals and he can communicate with them as he wants and use them just like anything else in his creation. But he had a visitation and a fellowship with mankind, Adam and his wife, that he did not have with any other. And that was broken, wasn't it? Here we see not God running away from man, but we see man running away from God. He died. God promised it would happen. You know, understand that in that, the Lord in His creation, one of the laws that He had written, one of the principles at hand, greater than even the principles of physics and chemistry and the operation of this world and creation, the operation of our bodies, God had put a thing in place, sin against me, and there's going to be death. And it happened. God didn't have to say, oh, man sinned, and then go over here and flip the death switch. It was a thing that was in place just like gravity. You know, we stay on this earth because of gravity. We use gravity to our advantage to do the things of life. And God put a thing in place, sin equals death. And not sin just towards one another or sin against the earth, but sin against Him, disobedience. Sin equals death. And so we see there then in Genesis chapter 5, as we read, that there came a day, hard to imagine, isn't it? 930 years. It's hard to comprehend that, isn't it? 930 years later, Adam laid down on his bed, was out in the field with some of his sons or his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, his great-great-grandchildren, whoever, however it was for Adam. But there came a day then, 930 years later, but his body dies. And here we have the understanding and the picture of death. It says there in Genesis 5:5, and he died. Death. As a good brother said here recently, when you got a problem, the only way a problem will get better is to deal with it. And that's true. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and you that are here without Christ, we've all got a problem. And that greatest problem is death. We fear death, don't we? We do, naturally. We fear death. We're made to live. We are made to love life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, let's take a look over here. Sometimes I wonder about what it is that the Lord gives me to preach, and I never want to blame anything of my lacking on the Lord. But I was just, in the events of the weeks, in the recent weeks and such as that, the Lord has just impressed me about this subject of death, and that the Word of God speaks about it plainly. You know, we need to know about it, know what He says about it, and look straight at it. You know, because death is not going to go away. It's not going to go away. And in this life, death is not going to go away until Jesus changes that. So in the meantime, death is very much with us. As was said during the course of the week, this past week, you know, death is as much a part of living as living is. It is. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 8, listen to what the scripture says. There is no man. Now, I tell you what, this is another law, if you will, a principle set down by God that we can know is so. I'll tell you beforehand, there is an exception to it. But in the lion's share part, when you get down to 99.999999, keep on going, repeating, nine repeating. It is so that there is no man that hath the power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. You don't get discharged from that. Now, we might argue the point that we who look for the rapture and very well may see the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ, we might get a discharge. But I tell you what, over the last 6,000 years, they haven't got a discharge. Because that's the principle, that's the rule, that's the law that's at hand. There's no discharge in that war. And it's a war. It's a battle. It's a war overall, and it's fought by many, many battles of life. We saw some of that with my grandmother this past week. She's fighting the battle. Her body is fighting the battle to live. And the Lord blessed. And there's been respite in that. But overall in that war, death is going to win. And there's no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. There's no man that hath the power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war. And when we look on at death, that's part of the reason, again, in our flesh, naturally, we look on at death as part of what makes us afraid of it, is because there is nothing we can do about it. We can fight, we can struggle, we can have the will to live, but when this old body quits working, when the Lord, and however He works these things, gives no more help or grace or aid unto this old physical flesh, it quits. And we see that in folks. This old body, it just gets tired, doesn't it? Where a thing that was so easy before, now it's just so, so very hard to do. In Hebrews chapter 9, We see here the blessing of the Lord. You know, if it's just us and our existence and our life on this earth and then ending in death, there would certainly be reason to despair, wouldn't there? Because it's in us to live. And of course, we know the Scripture bears out that we're eternal beings. The Lord has made our souls that way. A soul with a body rather than a body with a soul. That is true, isn't it? But in Hebrews chapter 9, we see this that said, verse number 27, the Scripture speaking about the sacrifice of Christ and how He offered Himself, and His sacrifice is way better than anything that Moses was given to do and the children of Israel pursued for hundreds of years. His sacrifice was better than that because it was effectual. It could do something. It put an end of all that spoke and proclaimed about what the Son would do. And it says here in verse number 27 of Hebrews 9, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." That's another thing that's in place, ordained by God. We die once. No living life, and then if you don't do well, get it straight or do it better on the second run through. Because there's no second run through. There's no reincarnation. There's not this oneness with the universe that we're tied with the energy of the universe. And we just kind of recirculate. It's kind of like the spirit of recycling, huh? And I'm not against all recycling. We just got the bin to recycle here. We'll have to find out what that's all about. But our souls are not recycled. We live. And then this body dies. And it says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, one time you're going to die. And I'm not going to get in about the time. We know those things are in the Lord's hands. And we also know that the Scripture says very much that you and I can be a fool and die before our time. I don't know what all that means. But if I get up here and go lay down the railroad tracks today, when R.J. Corman's train's coming by, I can probably die sooner than I would have if I wouldn't have gone up there and laid down on those tracks. You know what I'm saying? I can be a fool and die before my time. But as is appointed unto man once to die, we're going to die once, and after this, the judgment. After that, we're going to be judged. Listen, here's the good news of the Lord. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look unto him, look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise the Lord that with that very, very serious thing of death at hand for me, death at hand for you, and Adam's sin that we're going to take a look about that brought us into that, there is a way that it can be remedied. There's a way that it can be cured. There's a way that we can be saved. And in that, because of Christ, because we're appointed once to die, we're going to die. Christ was offered once. In parallel to that, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And see, that sin, it equals death, doesn't it? And he was offered to deal with those sins, to bear those sins. And we look for him as his children, we who are saved. We look for him coming, aren't you? Aren't you looking for his coming? Amen. It's part of our hope. And he's going to come back the second time, and he's not going to be bearing those sins anymore. Because he took care of them on Calvary. You know what? That which causes and has caused our death on this earth of mankind, Jesus took care of some 2,000 years ago. He's not in the vernacular. He's not packing it around anymore. Amen. He's not bearing it anymore. He took care of it. And those are hints of good things that we're going to look at. We saw there with Adam that he died spiritually. Ephesians talks to us and helps us in the chapter 2, makes that clear about how it is that we who are very much physically alive, but spiritually dead, are quickened by the Lord and made alive. That's what salvation is, the salvation of the Lord, His visitation. We are saved by His quickening, by His life. And so it kind of brings to light, you and I concentrate on the physical death, which we witness and deal with in life and our family and those here on the earth and even consideration of our own mortality. But there is also that which is spiritual. And the Scripture talks to us, and we're not going to look at that today, but the Scripture talks very much about that second death, doesn't it? That death that once one has lived on this earth, their physical life, having never been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, having never been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, standing before the great white throne judgment of God and thrown into the lake of fire, which the Scripture says is the second death. You know, sin, just talking about us naturally, sin has caused death, physical death of the body, and spiritual death of the soul. Now, the Lord has intervened in that, and that's what we want to take a look at. Romans chapter 5. Take a look over here. Romans chapter 5. Sin caused the appointment that we would die physically and that we would die spiritually. Once. You know, we say that either a person is going to be born once and die twice, or is going to be born twice and die once, only die physically, not spiritually. And so we just make that tie in here. Look here in Romans chapter 5, and with this thought at hand, sin brought death, and death has reigned among men. Therefore, being justified by faith, speaking to the saved, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's there. He's the intermediator, right? He's the intercessor. He is our Savior, by whom we have access by faith in Him into this grace wherein we stand. With that grace, I couldn't facilitate my own salvation, but Jesus did. And not only did He facilitate it, make it to where it would be acceptable to the Father, but He gave it to me. Hear that? The Father gave His Son, and the Son has given salvation. Yeah. Hear that? That's grace. I don't deserve it. Wouldn't even be seeking for it. But He's done so. By whom we also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We stand in that, don't we? And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We look forward to being with Him one day as He's promised. Not what we've concocted or what we've requested of God, but that He's done for us. In the forgiveness of sins, the salvation of the soul, the granting of everlasting life, and the blessings of glory with God, just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? The Lord just keeps on piling on the blessings. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, the apostle says. If our hearts are right, if we've grown up and are mature before the Lord, we'll glory in trouble, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. We looked at here some time ago, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hopeth maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, experience in the Lord. We had heartache, heartbreak, desire of our heart in the past weeks. And this has been, and we've had different things and different ones of the church and all through the time that we have been together. that we ask the Lord for and that He works and He blesses, greater than what we even imagine that He can do. And you know what? That needs to give us hope that when the next trouble comes, we can rest in Him and trust in Him. Hear? And then it says here in verse 6, this hope doesn't make us ashamed. The Lord's working in us to cause us to grow up and look to Him. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, verse 5, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, that earnest, right, of the Spirit of God within. For or because when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died. You and I are faced with death. But Christ died. And He died for an old wicked sinner like me. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. This waiting, so well, is my life worth this person? But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Death is not anything that God had ever experienced, or that, if you will, had been ordained that would be lined up for Him to experience. You and me, okay, now hear me out. You and I, when our daddy Adam sinned, sin equals death. But God knew nothing of death for him and in His existence. It would be inordinate for God to die, because He is life. But because of us and our need, our sin, our rebellion, our disobedience against Him, God said, no, My Son's going to die. Hear that? And the Lord had never died before, had never experienced death, did not, if you will, He is God and He is all powerful and all knowing, all present. But the God Almighty had never experienced death. It'd be impossible for Him to do so. That's the reason Christ, the Lord Jesus, became a man, I believe. And so He commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. That's talking about coming judgment for sin, coming damnation, condemnation for sin. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled unto God by the death of His Son, that's what we were, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life, because He lives, we live. That's how the Lord gives everlasting life. See, do you see here how the Lord willingly entered into this thing of death so He might express and be life unto us? You and I were captive to it and chained to it because of our sin. We know in of ourselves, we know nothing but death. But the Lord was willing to step into death that He might deal with death for our sake. And he was not obliged to do so, but He chose to do so. And so we're reconciled by His death, and we'll be much more reconciled by His life, and that's His bringing us to Him. In verse 12 we see here, or verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We've got the payment for that sin. Blessed is the man into whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Blessed is he. Let's turn over there to Psalms 32 and read that before I butcher it up more. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, verse 1, Psalm 32, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man into whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile or no deception. A happy, joyful, rejoicing person touched by God. We've received the atonement. We possess it through Christ. Back in Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore, listen, As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. There's just a greater reinforcement of what we've talked about and we saw over there in Genesis. Death came because of sin, and death came upon every person. All are sinners. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's how bad sin is. It's not fair that Adam sinned and then we have to bear it. That's how bad sin is. Hear that? Sin doesn't care anything about fairness. All sin does is kills and destroys. Yeah, in our reasoning, it would not be meet that we should bear the disobedience of Adam. But we do. But you know what? There's yet another thing. We choose to also, because we like sin too. And sin equals death. Wherefore, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. Remember, sin equals death. So then death passed upon all men, because he's our daddy. And we inherited it from him, and we wanted it from him, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was not in the world. Well, is it saying that there was no sin? Well, no, it's not saying that. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Sin is not was not recognized or maybe known by men when Lamech, I believe it's Lamech, he killed a man. He thought he was justified. He was kind of remorseful after he did because of the pressure from society there in Genesis. But he was guilty of it. And it was imputed by God. Okay, hear that? The world may not have seen it. The world may not have understood that sin caused death. But listen to what it says. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. There's the testimony that sin existed because our forebears were dying. And the only reason people die is because of sin. That's the only reason people die. It is the reason that death has come upon us. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. It wasn't imputed in the world where it was known. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. We didn't partake of the tree that God forbid us to partake of, like Adam did, but we got our own sin and rebellion against God, and it brings death. Who is the figure of him that was to come. A little insert there about, you know, Adam also speaks to one. He was the first man. God made him a living soul. But there's another Adam that has brought life. Praise the Lord for those little interjections and little hints there. Amen. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, Adam caused all of us to die spiritually, physically, one man for millions or billions of people. He says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, that free gift of God, that free working of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Adam sinned and many were made dead. But you know what? By Christ's obedience, by the Lord Jesus Christ's obedience, by him taking on death, many are made alive. Tell you what, that's a blessing, isn't it? That's where it is with salvation. One brought us into this, and one The Lord Jesus, that second Adam, delivers us from it. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Adam did that to us. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The Lord took care of it all. We don't need a multitude of saviors. We don't need a multitude of sacrifices by one Savior. We need one Savior who is perfect and pure and just. Never was in line to have to ever face death, okay, of who he is. You and I deserve death because of sin. But Jesus deserved nothing but life because he is life. But he stepped up to face death and deal with death. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned, and that's what we see there, death has reigned, hasn't it? Death has reigned by one sin of one man unto all of us on the earth. Death has reigned. We fight against death. We medicate against death. We do procedures and all the blessings of medical science that the Lord has given us. But when it comes to a point to where that nothing else can be done and death is going to win. Death has reigned. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. See, one caused many to sin, but it's not that way with the redemption. Many are redeemed by one. The gift of grace upon us, many are made dead, and the judgment of condemnation, but the free gift by justification by the Lord is applied by him. Death has reigned by one. But the abundance of grace, verse 17, given by one and the gift of righteousness by one will cause that to reign and death is diminished. Death goes away. Death disappears. And we'll see more about that in messages to come. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. We were there condemned before God, all of us guilty. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life, that is, through Christ. For as by one man's disobedience, verse 19, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It's reiterating the same thing that's been said. Death has reigned, sin brought death, and there was nothing we could do, but Christ stepped in, and he's taken care of it all. Yeah. And he freely gives it. And it's received by faith, not faith in us hanging on to it, not faith in us completing it, not faith in anything that we could add to it or take away from it, but faith in him who has performed it for us. Many shall be made righteous. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, so it might become glaring, so it might be known by us. See, that's what the sinner needs. The sinner, living in his own life, walking his own way, doesn't have a clue that he's heading for death. It needs the Word of God, needs the seed, needs the Word, needs the law to say, put the spotlight on it. You're a sinner and you're dying. And you need help. And that same Word tells about the Savior too. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, oh man, don't shine the light on that. It'll be too ugly to look at. The grace of the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ says, I've got enough to cover it. I've got enough to wipe it out. I've got enough to wash those sins away. See, the light needed to shine so that we might see it, so that sin might become exceeding sinful, this book says. And when it said, when we who look on at ourselves say, whoa, look how bad it is. The Lord says, I can take care of that. My Son has taken care of even that. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The Lord Jesus Christ was never challenged to say, well, I don't have enough grace, good gift of salvation. I don't have enough washing by my blood to be able to take care of that sinner. That never has happened. Never will happen. Because He is able to forgive, to wash away sin, and to grant grace necessary for the salvation of the soul. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Listen, that as sin hath reigned unto death, that same thing, it's done that for 6,000 years. Sin has reigned. We've not been able to do a thing about it in of ourselves. Mankind has not been able to thwart death. Can't do it. And sin has brought death. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It's by Him. And it's by His righteousness. And it's by, the Scripture tells us, by His imputation of His righteousness unto us and the imputation of our sin to Him. He's able to reign. You know what? Once we arrive in glory and we're there with the Lord takes us out of this life by rapture or by the grave. When we're there in the presence of the Lord, sin and death will just be a memory. It'll be gone when He wipes all tears away and makes all things new. It'll be a memory. Or won't even be remembered at all, will it? Because He's greater than it all. That as sin hath reigned unto death, and we take that serious, because we see it physically, naturally, we fear it. We grieve at it. We wonder about the mystery of it. We stay away from it. But Jesus is bigger than death. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. He gives eternal life. And when you're given eternal life, death gets swallowed up. And we'll see more about that in messages to come. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Here in Romans chapter 5, we see it affirmed that sin brought death, and death has reigned among men until Christ stepped in to do something. We'll close with these verses. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8, the apostle writing to the young preacher, his son in the faith. He seemingly is at Rome and in prison, and it seems like that we see in these epistles to the brother Timothy that the apostle Paul has even had times where he's been totally abandoned by the brethren. And Timothy is there, I believe, in Ephesus, doing what he is to be doing. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8, but ye know that the law is good, if any man use it lawfully. Spotlight. That's how it's used, right? Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. Right? It shows us our need. For the ungodly and for the sinner, for unholy and profane. The law is for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and, It's for manslayers, that it just might point it out and show it, put the spotlight on it, that it's wicked. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other such other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. He goes ahead and leaves that there. If I've missed anything, it's for that too. Verse 11. Contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, Timothy, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. You know what? I've got the wrong book. Let's go over here and try it again. 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's good stuff, but it's not for this message. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Again, he's writing to the apostle, or the apostle's writing to Timothy, encouraging him even in these distressful times. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. It works patience. And it works hope. It works long-suffering. The power of God. Verse number 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Listen. Who hath abolished death. Death is real. And death is very much with us and in this old flesh. But being saved, brothers and sisters, know our Savior has abolished death.
Amen.
Abolish it's it he's by taking and dealing with death, which we'll look more at in messages to come, Lord willing, by stepping off and dealing with death straight on, he has abolished it. If you're saved, you have everlasting life, and you have nothing to fear of death. Oh, yeah, we're in this old sinful man, and the apostles want to deal with that, where we kind of go back and forth. I'll get afraid, and then I'll look to the Lord. You know when I get afraid is when I quit looking at the Lord, right?
That's right.
Who hath abolished death, listen, and hath brought to life, he's brought that to reign, life, and immortality to light. How? Through the gospel. Through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has abolished death, and rather than death reigning, the grace of God and salvation in his life, and he reigns. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, and teacher of the Gentiles. I need to tell it. I've been called of the Lord to do so. Death. It came by one man. It came by sin. And it has reigned and reigned and reigned. But you know what? Jesus Christ has abolished it. We who are saved, oh, don't we have great consolation and promise? Don't we have great affirmation of the love of God and the grace of God upon us and him doing this for us? Oh, may we rest in him and trust in him. May we be helped by that. You that are here and not saved. That's what you've got, is you've got death. Death is coming. We don't know when, but it is coming. And you are there in the condition that you're in. You are by yourself. I'm not looking to scare you. I'm looking you to be
sober and see the truth of it. You know, when no one can really live unless they deal with this issue of death first. Yeah, you can live, you can exist, and you can satisfy your flesh and enjoy things of life and that, but you really can't live